Well, good evening to all of you. Just the very few of us who are in here tonight, but I know that there are a lot of you out there listening to us as we commemorate this Maundy Thursday, the night on which the Lord Jesus was betrayed, the night on which he prayed in Gethsemane, and we might argue the night on which our salvation was won. And so we want to remember this night with a worship service. And this will commence all of our really Easter weekend worship services. We've had to alter our schedule this week because of our circumstances, but we will worship together tonight. And just to remind you, after the worship service, there is a Passover Seder that you can view. I believe you sent out a link, Michael, so how you can view that to observe a Passover Seder put on by the organization Jews for Jesus. So we encourage you to watch that after tonight's worship service. And then also to remind you, tomorrow at noon, we will again have a live stream worship service for Good Friday. That will commence at noon. And then, of course, we will worship together via live stream this coming Resurrection Day, this Easter at 10:25. So just want to remind you of our upcoming worship schedule, which we begin tonight. But we want to commit the whole weekend, really, and tonight's worship to the Lord and ask the blessing of His presence and His Spirit among us. So let's commit our evening together to the Lord with a word of prayer. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we give you thanks that through your abundant grace, you have provided a means for us to still gather, still remember, still think and meditate and muse on our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed. And I pray, O Lord, that you would send your Spirit to be among us and among your entire church worldwide who is thinking, remembering, but also praying and waiting and looking to receive fresh instruction from the living God and the risen Christ as to how we might preach the good news of the power of God to save from death. So we pray, O Lord, that you'd send your Spirit to be among us. We pray that you'd bless our gathering tonight. We pray, O Lord, that we would remember you and that you would use our worship this weekend to ignite love and service to you, which will continue for an eternity. And we pray all this together in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, a scripture reading to get us started this evening is from John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, and then we'll be looking at Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and following in just a few moments. But from John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we read these words. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Well, the last night of Jesus' life consisted of him celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. That was a huge deal. The Passover was a major festival for the Jews. It was a big event for all the Jewish people, especially to come into Jerusalem. It was on a Thursday night. The holy meal would have been something like what we experience at Thanksgiving. It was just a central part of the whole festival, the whole holiday was the meal itself. And so we refer to this as the Last Supper, the supper in which Jesus, or the meal in which Jesus initiated and got for us as Christians, established for us as Christians, communion, or the Lord's Supper. Now we call today Maundy Thursday, and it comes from the Latin word mandatum, which also, of course, we can hear that with the word mandate. So it's Mandate Thursday or Commandment Thursday. And that comes from the 34th verse where Jesus said, a new commandment or a new mandate, if you're reading it, the Latin version of John chapter 13, if you're reading it, then it would be a new mandatum, a new mandate I give you. And of course, that is to love one another, just as I have loved you, Jesus said. Now, there's nothing really new about this command. Some people might think that it's new, that in the Old Testament you see a mean God who doesn't love people and false things like that, but then in the New you see a loving God or whatever. No, in the Old Testament as well as in it, you see the love of God displayed clearly in many different ways. And Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, we read, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now the difference here is that in the Old Testament they are called to love their neighbor as themselves, and now Jesus in this new mandate is saying, love one another as I have loved you. That's the new standard. And what I mentioned last year on Maundy Thursday, which I'm sure everyone remembers, is that this new standard is one of humility as a servant. That's the way we love, as Jesus loved. And what he shows us here in the following verses here in John chapter 13, when he washes the feet of the disciples, is this humble servant love. And that's the way that we're called to love. That's the new standard. Not just loving others as you love yourself. That's high enough standard as it is. But now it's even more so as Christ loves. That's our standard. That's our call. So I want to add to that this year and remind us that Jesus loves sinners who are his enemies. So not only are we called to love humbly as a servant following the example of Christ, but we are reminded that Jesus loves sinners who are his enemies. And we get from Romans chapter 5 these words, beginning in verse 8, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if you'll work backwards one verse into verse 7, you read these words, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I think that we can relate to this because most of us would agree that, yeah, you know, maybe I could give of myself, maybe even give of my own life for a good person. But when it comes to loving someone who is a sinner, someone who is very unlovely, very sinful, which of course is all of us, that's where it takes it to a whole new level. Just yesterday here on our church campus, really it was on the road, I was in the office talking with Jenny, and I don't remember why, but I looked out the door and there were some clothes that had been run over by the cars out in the roadway. They'd been run over by the cars, and it was wet. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, I don't know who's going to clean that up. Does the city do that? Or I don't know. So I thought, well, all right, let's get it cleaned up because it looks pretty nasty. So Jenny gave me a glove and a garbage sack, and I went out there and started picking it up and putting it in the garbage sack, and it was nasty. I mean, it was, you know, matted and wet, and then it smelled badly. And I was thinking, I really don't want to be doing this, handling this unloveliness. And that's just some clothes that stink. And we're seeing the Lord Jesus who loves sinners. But not only does he love sinners, if you look a little bit further after verse 8, we see in verses 9 and 10, "Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." So it's not only while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you, but while we were enemies, Christ died for us. Again, whole new level of standard. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. Love sinners, love enemies. Jonathan Edwards, in his book Charity and its fruits writes, "There was not only no love to himself in those on whom he set his love, but they were full of enmity and of a principle of actual hatred to him." And that's you and that's me. Not only did God demonstrate his own love towards us while we were sinners, but while we were his enemies. I think we have a hard time imagining enemies today. You know, Alabama and Auburn people talk about their bitter rivalry and they want to beat their enemy. But the reality is we really just want bragging rights for a year and then we get over it. We don't really want death, but that's what this is. An enemy wants you dead. You think about terrorism and 9/11 and the terror strikes there. Reality is, of course, that without Jesus changing our hearts, we all want God dead. John Gerstner used to say, we'd kill God if we could. But thanks be to God that though we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. He became the Lamb who was slain. And by His Holy Spirit, He changes our hearts. He removes our heart of stone. He gives us a heart of flesh. He takes away our heart of hatred toward Him and gives us a heart of love towards Him. And so to that, on this night especially, remember all that He went through, that we might have that new heart, we say thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, help us indeed, as Hunter prayed earlier, to remember this, to be changed by this, to have great love and affection in our hearts for You, growing from this new heart that You give us by Your mercy and grace. Thanks be to God through Jesus. Amen. And let's stand together and sing as a closing hymn, "O Sacred Head, Now Wounded." If you're watching live, unless you have a hymnal handy, you won't have the words, but it's number 246 in our hymnal. I'm sorry, 247. Let's sing to the Lord.
Should I think in thee?
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you all now and forever. Amen.